This is the M Zone.
And welcome to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt Leach, and our special guest, Isaiah Hole. Nothing but the whole truth today, baby. Nothing but the whole truth. Isaiah, of course, is with Wolverine's Wire. As I read Matt Leach's lips, and I had it already, so you don't have to give me, you know.
I'm just trying to help you out, man. Every week it's taking you least like one or two stumbles, and then you get it.
I did it right last week, didn't I?
Did it right last week. I commended him last week when he got it right.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I mean,
you sure about that?
Yeah, over at the Black Rock. You know, I was by myself over there without you.
It was peaceful. Hey, it was peaceful in the studio.
I guess it was peaceful, but you could ate that steak. You know, you could ate the steak instead of me having Sam eat it.
But then we wouldn't have had that great little spat between you and Sam about the fake vegetarian thing.
There's
going
no
on.
Fake vegetarian. Let me set the record straight for once. I'm sorry, Isaiah. They were on this kick again this morning. So let me set the record straight. I never did say I was a vegetarian. I don't drink beer. You're right. I don't like beer. But that's another story because they said Jamie can drink some fake beer. Anyway, that being said, I am on a plant-based plan that I did for myself. I decided to do this. So it's not anything that I'm sticking to or anything like that. But if I choose to eat some candy bacon from Sirius Restaurant, I'm going to eat it because it's me. It's my body.
As far as I know, candied bacon and steak, those all fall within the purview of a plant-based diet.
They eat plants.
Exactly.
That's what he's saying.
So basically, if you're going to have it, it's got to be grass-fed.
Well, sure. There you go.
Really,
why not?
Really, it's vegan.
Right. So what I'm saying is I eat plants because I want to, and I'm not a vegetarian. Never said I was. I don't know where Sam got that from, but stop it. Right now. Stop it right now. I'm just done with it.
You okay?
I don't hear it. No.
You gonna be all right?
I just wanted to be known. That's
okay.
You know.
Word is out.
That was six, couple hours ago, but you know. Everybody hit me up. Everybody was hitting me. I'm like looking at what the heck? Okay.
What are people doing awake that early? What's the
That's
matter
what
with
I'm
them?
Saying.
What's
Y'all,
the matter with them?
Why are you listening to that show when you can sleep in, wake up, walk around, get some coffee, and then wait till 3 to 6 and have a good show, right? I'm just saying. Anyway, I'm getting back. SMU. Isaiah, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
You know, look, a lot of people are going to say, Michigan versus SMU, you got a 1-1 team taking on a 0-2 team. SMU hasn't looked good in their losses.
No, they have not.
That being said, SMU is coming here, playing in the big house at 3:30 is the kick, right? Mm. I don't know why they made it a 3:30 kick. I'm not mad about it anymore. I'm done with that. But that being said, you got a chance to see the players, the coaches. To me, they still have to come out with the same intensity, the same, making the same point, and doing the same thing, if not more, to help themselves.
Oh, absolutely. And it's, I think, at least defensively, I mean, on both sides of the ball, but starting with the defense, you know, we heard about how some of the players were upset that they weren't able to preserve the shutout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 208 yards total to Western Michigan, who had 621 the week beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty stellar, but especially it's even more stellar when you realize that when the backups came in on the last drive,
mm-hmm.
they gave up 57 yards. So the starters for Michigan's defense only allowed 151 total yards.
Okay.
So you know that they're going to want to go in and improve upon that 208 number if they can. If they're so close to having a shutout. You know, especially because they almost even blocked that kick. You know, well, they blocked the one, obviously, and it got called back for offsides. But they have so much there on that side of the ball still to prove, especially just after everything they heard from Notre Dame. They're still, you know, they're still pretty well aware of, you know, all the failings against Notre Dame.
So, I mean, see, Matt, I told you it wasn't. You were worried about the rushing yards and the different things like that. But, I mean, as Isaiah points out, it was the, you know, when you brought in the younger kids, they gained a few more yards and everything like that. You're just learning, right?
That's you are right. We it was great getting a lot of those guys' experiences. But again, just the point that I brought up, the hallmark of whenever I think of great Michigan defenses, it was you couldn't even think about running the ball on us. You would mm-hmm. have to try to do it to try and keep us honest. But, you know, again, I go back to that 06 defense. The teams couldn't run on us to save their lives. And I'm talking about the good teams. Wisconsin, I think it was PJ Hill or whoever, was running the ball all over the place and nothing against us. And so Western Michigan, I would have liked to see us hold them under 100 yards rushing. That was all I said.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I mean, but like, I mean, look, different times, different days, more spread offenses, different things. Look, holding them to 3 points is impressive.
And then on top of it, you know, that, and this is one of the things we heard from Chase Winovich right after the game is just that they went so heavy on Max Protect and being able to run the ball. They sold out to run the ball. They sold out to keep the quarterback safe.
Mm-hmm.
They were, you know, triple teaming as anyone that they could from the defensive line. So I wouldn't imagine that you're going to continue seeing that strategy because it still didn't work out terribly well for Western. But I think it was what was really good to see was the rebounding play of particularly LeVert Hill after Notre Dame, where he had that shaky start and everything. But the secondary rounding into form, they were just in great position pretty much any time that the ball was thrown their way. The only time they maybe weren't was when things were being thrown underneath. Really can't do much about that.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot to like as far as that's concerned. You definitely get the impression from the Michigan defensive players that we've talked to and even Al Washington, who we had on Wednesday, that it's all about them. It's not about the teams that they're facing at, you know, and that's in general. You know, they said that about Notre Dame as well. But it's definitely about what they can do and how they can get better and not necessarily what teams are trying to scheme against. Offensively, you look at this game with SMU, and there's still a ton to prove. I thought they proved a lot. You know, we kept on hearing on how the offensive line had improved, but people were still very upset, obviously, given the way Notre Dame went.
And when you look at that game, Notre Dame, they pushed that.
Oh,
they came
absolutely.
With everything. They threw the kitchen sink at Michigan to get to Young Shea.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what they should do. They have the talent to do mm-hmm. that, but it wasn't quite the debacle that I think people want to say it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see what they were able to do against Western Michigan, and it looked like a competent offensive line for the first time in forever. And then you hear the excuse of, well, but it was Western Michigan. Well, they weren't doing that last year. When they were playing Cincinnati, when they were playing Air Force, it looked like Michigan's offense was playing Michigan's defense.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, so far, it hasn't looked quite that bad in the worst times, and it's looked significantly better. So that, again, the whole, you know, it's all about us. That's mm-hmm. something that Ed Warner had said on Wednesday. It's like, this is all about us and all of us improving. He said that he really liked the progress of the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
He likes where they're at right now.
Right.
But as he said, if they continue, they have to continue to get better. If he won't be happy if a couple weeks down the road they're, you know, they still are at the same exact level that they're at. One of the things that he pointed to was just being able to see improvement from week one to week two. That's what he said is the biggest jump that he's seen in his third, I think he said 34 years of coaching,
mm-hmm.
is always between week one and week two. And in week two against Western Michigan, he saw guys that didn't necessarily have the right footwork, the right hand placement, the right pad level, and they had that against Western Michigan.
Right.
So that's where you see definite improvement, because once they finally were able to strap on a helmet against someone else, unfortunately, when you go up against Notre Dame,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a different animal than going up against Western. And then Western, they kind of got some of those kinks worked out. They realized, okay, here's where we were going wrong. Here's how we make sure that we fix it. They just have to continue that because the offense still has a ton to prove. Obviously, we saw touchdowns to wide receivers,
mm-hmm.
but we don't want to see that, you know, have the year-long lapse like it did going from week two last year to week two this year. We want to see Shea Patterson had a really good game,
mm-hmm.
wasn't asked to do much, completed 12 of 17 passes for 125 yards. But,
right.
you know, with SMU this week. They're, I believe, 127th in pass defense. That's, you know, out of 130 teams, and there's a couple ties ahead of them. So they're the second worst team in all of college football in pass defense right now. So
I expect kind of the same game plan
as
was played last week. They're going to try to establish the run and then go up top when given the opportunity. When they see that safety sink down, come down into that linebacker zone, they're going to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. And that's obviously what they're going to try to do every week.
You know,
that's what we saw against Notre Dame. That's what they tried to do. Didn't work. Now, you know, it's if their offensive line is able to get that push, and there's some I'm really impressed by Ben Bredesen, what he's been able to do. He went from being a guy that looked, you know, that looked really good his first 2 years, but still kind of had his moments where you could tell his youth, and now he's just anytime you see that big hole spring open, you know, for Higdon or Evans, it seems like it's always Bredesen leading the way.
Right.
He's just been so stellar. And going into a game like this, if they can continue to do that, then obviously they're going to be able to pass the ball. I'd like to see more of it, you know, especially just because I think you need to be able to build that confidence going into the Big Ten schedule. It's great to be able to go and get 308 yards on the ground, or you know 320 or whatever it ended up being, but you're going to need that in-game practice to be able to really put up a big game through the air, just to build that rapport, build that confidence between Shea and the receivers. And I mean, I thought you saw a little bit of it, you know, just even just with what limited action there was. But they're really going to need to amp that up that much more, I feel, this week, because schedule's going to get a heck of a lot tougher going forward.
Sure. And, you know, you got to take advantage of the opportunities you're given. Now let's talk about this defensive line. Banged up. You got guys going week to week.
Yep.
You have Lawrence Marshall, and you have a guy that we talked about preseason. Everybody talked about him, Aubrey Solomon.
Yep, poor Aubrey. He's had a tough go this last year. He had appendicitis in the spring and was very limited because of that. And now, you know, having had surgery, he's definitely. I don't know that, you know, whether or not we'll see him. I did see him midweek just walking into Schembechler. Mm-hmm. He had a cane with him. He wasn't using it, but he had one. So I would imagine he probably didn't practice if he's still carrying around a cane. But isn't it funny that, you know, there's the talk about, like, okay, Lawrence Marshall's out. What are we going to do?
Right.
When he was not a person that people were counting on as being that guy that until the Notre Dame game, he had such a good game against Notre Dame that I think people realize. But, you know, you got Dwumfor, you got Brian Monet, and I thought Carlo Kemp gained weight
and who moved inside and willing to do it.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, I thought he did really well.
Yeah, never had played three tech before this year.
Exactly.
And gained 25 pounds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he spent the first 2 years trying to mirror Rashawn Gary and try to get all those moves in, and so that they could basically have no drop-off at that anchor position. And, you know, now he's you know, it's a completely different position. He's never played inside. Going even back to high school, he was a linebacker in high school.
Right.
So it's another move, and I thought he acquitted himself quite well.
Yep, I think so. I think he gets another week of this.
Mm-hmm.
He may get the hang of it.
Oh, absolutely.
He understands it. You give somebody a chance. I mean, look, I'm not saying it's at a Notre Dame level, but it is game speed.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a chance to go after someone in game speed level, that's where you develop. That's what you develop your skills. That's how you work on your craft. And he's getting that opportunity.
Absolutely. Especially when you consider what he has been, to going from a linebacker to a defensive end to a defensive tackle. Speed is the name of the game for him. It's just going to be a mental, you know, making sure he knows what he's supposed to do. Like he had talked about on Monday about just making sure that he had the awareness of all the different elements that come with playing inside. Because like he was saying, when you play defensive end, you read the tight end and you go from there. And inside, you don't get to do that, because before you know it, you've got a double or triple team coming your way. And so it's paramount for him to be able to be absolutely fundamental in his technique. I know I used paramount and fundamental, two different things there, but you know, you get the point.
I get it.
And he's, I thought he did a really nice job. Let's just continue to see how he does. And obviously he's going to get a really good chance. I would imagine that even if Solomon or Marshall were able and ready to go, that this is a perfect week to make sure that they continue to get right.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can let those guys go out and try to make an impact. And I even thought, you know, it was very limited, but, you know, getting to see – it was nice to finally get to see guys like Donovan Jeter get out there late in the game.
Yeah.
A guy that's also had a tough go as far as his health has been concerned, had to sit out all last year. He's a guy that would have contributed right out the gates, I think, last year based off of what we saw in the spring of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So there are definitely bodies there. It's just that they're all unproven commodities.
Mm-hmm.
The good news for the defensive line is you still have Chase Winovich. You still have Rashawn Gary.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the second stringers looked pretty phenomenal. I think Aiden Hutchinson is just going to be a force.
I think he's going to be something else.
It's unbelievable.
I like what I see in that young man. He played well, too. So
I was on the sidelines, and I said someone asked me, so when are we going to see some of these freshmen? And they were listening off people, and they said, Aiden Hutchinson. I'm like, well, Aiden Hutchinson's already been out there.
Right. I mean,
and then literally he makes the next tackle. And I'm like, well, there you go.
Right.
There he is. And he's another guy. Like, he's just, it's amazing to me because I've been watching him in high school. I remember interviewing him a couple years ago when he was, I guess it would have been his like second game of his junior year.
Mm-hmm.
And he just looks like a completely different player. Obviously, it's helped him to already be in strength and conditioning and everything like that. But, you know, the family pedigree with his father, Chris, he knows what to do to be able to succeed. And I thought that was a really good start. Kwity Paye is, I think, just unheralded. I don't understand why people aren't.
Why aren't people high on Kwity Paye?
I don't know.
He is
Stargazers, I think.
Yeah. I mean, he is a guy. I was impressed with him in the Notre Dame game. I mean, he held up strong this past week. I look forward to seeing him again this weekend just to see how much, what did he get out of the film? What did the coaches, what are they working on with him? And then I'll see it, you know?
I think this could be the type of year that Kwity could have, when you think back to 2016, what Chase Winovich was able to do. It's funny because I don't think people realize Chase Winovich was not a household name until really 2017.
Mm-hmm.
2016, he had those moments, those flashes, and I think he ended up being second in sacks coming off the bench. I could see a very similar scenario for Kwity Paye. They're that high on him inside the building, and I think you're starting to already see that. Yeah, we haven't seen the sack production yet, four total sacks, I believe, in two games, but that's been more of a that's been less because of what Michigan's capable of doing than what other teams are doing to try to really stop it. Like I said, the max protect that Western had.
Well, you know, it was kind of made a big deal, but when we just went through it, like I'm not that worried. You know, I think you got some guys that got a lot of walk to and a lot of things to show and prove that they belong out there a little bit more time. Everybody wants more time when you talk defensive line. So you got some guys that are getting an opportunity with Marshall and Aubrey Solomon going week to week. And for them, trust me, I know from a little guy who, dude, if you get hurt and you're on that table or in that that whirlpool, you're giving that other guy who's taking your place more time to show that he deserves to play.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
these guys, the defensive line is just so stacked. I mean, Madison said he had two full rotations anyway before those two guys ended up being out, and you still have just so many different guys that, like you said, they just need that capability to go in and learn what it's like to not be going up against guys in practice.
Right.
To, you know, go up and smack someone and get with a different colored helmet.
Right.
And this is another great opportunity. I would imagine that while the defense is going to try its damnedest to hold SMU to less yards, less points and everything from last year, I would still imagine we're going to see more reserves just if things go to plan. And I think it would take a meteoric effort on SMU's part to make things not go according to plan for Michigan tomorrow.
Right. That being said, let's segue over to that quarterback position because, you know what, it's an interesting position. We know that Shea Patterson is the starter, and he's done a great job, and he's improved each and every time. But, I mean, Brandon Peters gets hurt, can't play in the first game. This is my case in point. You, Dylan McCaffrey goes in. He does a fantastic job replacing Shea Patterson. Takes the team down the field in the 2 minute offense.
Yep, sure did.
I mean, does a great job. That being said, everybody's, you know, you find out after the game and everything. Shea comes back in after the game. You know, you find out that Brandon was hurt. He had a little something wrong with his back and everything like that. You come back to Western Michigan. What are you thinking? I mean, everybody's assuming.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go in and take Shea out, who's coming in?
Yep, Dylan McCaffrey.
Right. Again.
I don't know yet because, you know, you saw I didn't see his – again, Brandon didn't warm up at all against Notre Dame. He did warm up against Western in pregame, but it wasn't as much as far as from what I could tell, which maybe I wasn't paying as much attention, but I would imagine he's still considered to be quite limited. But the same concept of what you were just saying about the defensive line is Brandon's not able to go, and Dylan is making the most of his opportunities when he gets into the games. And obviously, that was you had one pass, 100, you know, threw it 18 yards to Jake McCurry, and who, by the way, is someone that I've been talking about all summer. That was no surprise to me to see Jake McCurry get that catch and that touchdown. But everyone next to me was like, "Who's that?" And I was like, "Well, you're clearly not reading my site, so it's probably
that's Wolverine's wire."
Yeah.
Get it right.
I think they were at WolverinesMagazine.com. You don't get Jake McCurry talk there. But Dylan McCaffrey's really, in two games, has shown exactly why he was co-offensive scout team player of the year along with McCurry.
Like right.
Don Brown raved about him last year and said that he just gave them the best possible looks and everything that they needed to go into all these games. And you know, for Brandon, it's going to be a tough road back once he is healthy, whenever that might be. Obviously, they wanted to get him in the game in some capacity. He was clearly able to go enough, but Dylan really is showing something, and I think he's on the verge of becoming the most popular man in Ann Arbor as the backup quarterback for Michigan tends to be.
That's a true statement. Well, we need to go to a break, but when we come back, we got a special guest coming on. And I'm not going to tell. You know what? I'm going to give one hint. Number five. It's just one hint, right? There you go. His number was number five.
That's pretty amazing that you're getting Joe Milton on so early.
There you go. Exactly. You're listening to the M Zone.